I'll be reading from 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 8. 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family, and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Good morning, family. God is good, and all the church said, Amen. As our brother Chris read, we are in 1 Timothy, dealing with chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. Within the church family, various needs arise for which the church is to care for the individual by ministering to their true need, and that by scripturally evaluating their situation and meeting their need with a proper biblical response. This is what Christians are to do as they follow after Christ, being saved by Him. They follow after Him, and He is the great minister who meets our greatest needs. We are to be a family who ministers one to another in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the church said, Amen. And then the goal of our ministry is to glorify God, of course, in all things, by meeting the highest need for the highest good of everyone involved. For instance, if a man refuses to work, now I'm not talking, of course, about someone who's lost their job and they're currently seeking employment, but I'm talking about one who refuses to work. Well, that person may say, I need some food, and indeed he is hungry and he needs some food, yet the truth is he has a greater need than food. And that is, he needs to learn to submit to God, to work as expected by God, as God created him to do, so then he may eat of the fruit of his own labors. If we give such a one food without investigating his need and not requiring him to earn his food, ignoring his great sin, we come then to share in his sin and actually perpetuate his sin, violating the word of God. This dear soul needs to come to Christ in repentance. So to meet his need, we minister not by giving him bread, but by sharing with him the bread of life. Amen? And of course, I say this in light of 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 13, which says, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. So what I'm saying is, as we're going to consider widows today, we have scriptural balance. And that is, we're not to be a bleeding heart society that every sad story that comes along, we just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. But we're to investigate what is the real situation and what is their highest need. For the man who won't work, his highest need is to submit to God and work. Amen? And if we feed him while he's not working, we're perpetuating his sin. So we must be wise. So what we find is that while one's need may be legitimate, another's not so. And it is the church's solemn duty to ascertain how Christ would have us minister in each case, being sure to glorify him by ministering according to the direction of his word, and of course, and that will result in the highest good of all involved. Again, the church is not to be a gullible society, but we're to be a rational, godly family that ministers intelligently for the good of all involved so as to glorify our Lord, who is all worthy. Introduction on that handout of the great needs that presented itself in the early church, there was the care of the widows. So important is the proper care of widows that in this short letter addressed to Timothy, the apostle devoted 14 verses, that's about 12.5% of the letter, to instruct Timothy how the church is to minister to widows in a godly, Christ-exalting manner. Now, in the day of this writing, it was quite different for widows than it is today in the U.S. of A. A widow in that day was at a particular disadvantage when she lost her husband. It would be very difficult for her to gain employment. Very often she was left destitute, which in many cases then led the woman to resort to all manner of desperate acts for their survival. From early in human history, after God created man, widows faced particular needs which the Lord commanded his people to minister to. Listen as we read several scripture. The Holy Scripture says, Deuteronomy 24:17-22. You shall not pervert the justice due a foreigner or an orphan, nor take a widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this thing. So the Lord said, hey, remember where you were. You once were in a tight spot. You need to be delivered and helped out. And so that's the way you need to treat the foreigner and the orphan and the widow. They're in a tight spot. Help them out, just like the Lord helped you. Verse 19. When you reap your harvest in your field. Now here this Lord has this plan of how he's going to providentially provide for them, the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow. When you reap your harvest in your field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the foreigner, for the orphan, and for the widow, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive tree, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the foreigner, for the orphan, and for the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not go over it again. It shall be for the foreigner, for the orphan, and for the widow. And you shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I'm commanding you to do this thing. So again, through divine providence, the Lord fed widows by leaving grain, olives, and grapes behind, commanding the owners of the field to leave the leftovers for them to glean. So the Lord is providing for widows in that way. All the way to the New Testament in Acts chapter 6, we find the apostles creating the office of deacons. Verses 1 through 3 says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. They had a plan in place where they took care of the widows, making sure that they had provision for their daily needs and that they would have food. Well, some of the widows felt like they were being neglected, so this complaint came up. And, of course, it comes to the 12 apostles. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples, called the disciples together, all those in the congregation, and they said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. So select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task, so that the widows are fed and they're fed equally well. Through that instruction, the disciples saw to it that all the needy widows were properly ministered to through the office of the deacons. Thank God for deacons. And the church said, amen. Throughout the pages of Scripture, then, we are instructed in regard to widows. Jeremiah 22:3-4 says, do not mistreat or do violence to the stranger, the orphan, or the widow. Amen. Zechariah 7:8-11 says, then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice, and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother, and do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. Of old, God sought to protect the widow. And we have James 1:27. You should have this memorized. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows, yes, in their distress. Well, why are we to minister to widows in such a manner? Because it is what God does, and we are his people, and we are to be holy even as he is holy. Psalm 146:9 says, the Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will tear down the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. We're to care for widows because God cares for widows, and we are his children and the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Deuteronomy 10:17-21. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And all the church said, amen. He is the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow. And he shows his love for the foreigner by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the foreigner, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. So what does the Lord say? Look, this is how God has cared for people, so this is how you need to glorify God, by continuing to care for people just like he does and as he's cared for us. Since this is who our God is, great and mighty, one who shows great love to the stranger, the orphan, and the widow, providing food and clothing, we should seek to be like him. For he commands his people, saying, Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. And Jeremiah 7:6-7 says, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So the Lord is protective. He blesses those who bless the widows, and he curses those who curse the widows. We have this warning about God's judgment. Malachi 3:5-6a. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against those who swear falsely, and against those who oppress the wage earner in his wages, and the widow, and the orphan, and those who turn aside from the foreigner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts, for I, the Lord, do not change. The nature of God is eternal. He's an unchanging God. Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. And what does he care about? Well, in our concern this morning, he cares about the widows and those who torment the widows, who take advantage of the widows, who oppress the widows, who cheat the widows. God will bring retribution upon them. Now, though we live in a society that cares for others through social programs, and the widows of our day are not left destitute as they were in the day of this writing, nevertheless, we have the word of the Lord concerning these dear and precious souls and how we must minister to widows who are in need. While I find benefits in our nation caring for the elderly as our laws make provision, there is also the potential for abuse, where sometimes the undeserving receive while scamming the system, but also there's a greater concern, where then we come to depend upon the government for our provision rather than God. And those of us who can give then do not, because we know the government will take care of them and we pay our taxes. At least I hope we pay our taxes. We should render under Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. While the government makes provision for many, this does not absolve the church, you and me, from our biblical obligation to minister to those widows who are left in need. And what shall we do if the government programs cease? What if we go in such debt that the government can't pay the bills? What if we become, as a nation like Illinois, where they're handing out IOUs? Did you know that? If you win the lottery in Illinois, you get an IOU. It's true. Go cash it somewhere outside of Illinois. That's all I can say. Don't buy it. That's what I can. All right. The government, in such trouble, and with our debt growing, us living as a nation over our means, what are we going to do if government programs cease and families continue to disintegrate in our world as the family unit is falling apart? And what are we going to do then if widows are left without? Well, family, we must determine now that we will care for the widows as our present text mandates. No more, no less. We have the clear instruction of the Lord in front of us, and we must be ready to minister no matter the cost. While there really are only a few things that the Lord says the church is to provide for, this is one of them. And if we come to the point that we say we can't afford it, we can't afford to do what the Lord says to do, then we need to desperately reorganize our financial priorities so as to obey the word of the Lord. Of all we do and want to do, we must take up the will of the Lord as our priority so we will be like him and glorify him. Let us learn to minister to the true widow's need as we are here commanded. 1 Timothy 5:3. Honor widows who are widows indeed. having taught us in the first two verses of this fifth chapter how we are to approach a brother or sister in sin, and that as a family member, appealing to them as a father or brother or mother or sister. Here then, Paul moves on to address how we're to care for a particular member of our family, the widow. Roman number one, the church family is to lovingly care for the widow indeed. Now, the noun widow is the feminine form of the masculine adjective bereft or bereaved. I didn't say this in the first service, but I'll say it in this service because I was asked a question. I thought, well, I should have put it in the sermon. The English word widow speaks specifically about a woman whose husband has passed away. She's been widowed. But the term in the biblical days spoke of a woman who just had lost her husband. It could be through divorce. It could be through a number of things, but she was left alone. She didn't have a husband. So the word in the Bible day held a little bit further than what we think of widow in today. So the noun widow is in the feminine form of the masculine adjective bereft, bereaved. Here, widow refers to a female who is bereaved, who has suffered loss, and is left alone. If I may restate this verse using some of the terms I've mentioned, it may help us to make sense of what the passage is teaching, because he says, honor widows who are widows indeed. It could be acceptable to translate this verse, honor the bereaved woman who are bereaved indeed, or honor the women who have been left alone who are alone indeed. We are to honor them. More on that in a moment. We are to honor them. The imperative honor is in the present tense, which calls for continuous action. Honor means to estimate or fix a value on its object. This honor is to be expressed through ongoing acts of tangible appreciation. The word teaches us to value and reverence someone, such as our mother and father. Honor them. And also then, as it demands, it is to offer material and financial support in the hour of their need. Here we are commanded to honor widows who are widows indeed, by aiding them in tangible ways, expressing their worth through financial and material aid, while also regarding them with great respect. So now get this picture. The widow indeed, which we will define, the widow indeed is not to be looked upon as a charity case whom we might resent helping, who we might think is a nuisance. But she is to be looked upon as one who deserves support in the light of the life she has and now lives. It'll become very clear in this text. Now, when we get to passages like this, there are those who will say, no, this honor is a matter of mind and not a matter of works. It is not a call for financial or material support, but for appreciation and respect. And they will say, and I've heard this said, as we are to honor our mother and father, we are also to honor our widows. So this does not speak of financial support, but quite the contrary. Though perhaps one may not realize it, even in the command to honor father and mother, the idea of financial support is present. Consider Matthew 15, 1 through 6. Turn there. Let's see what the Lord says about honoring father and mother. The disciples had eaten some food and they didn't wash their hands according to the traditions of the elders, and the Pharisees are going to jump on Jesus' case about it and try to find something that they can persecute him for. So Matthew 15:1. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And listen how Jesus answers them. And he answered and said to them, and why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. And he who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. Whoa. But you say... Now he says, this is what God says, but here's what you say, scribes and Pharisees. You say, whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have had to help, for your help, has been given to God. I gave it to the temple. So he is not to honor his father and mother. And thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. So let me run through this real quick. God says honor your father and mother. What does that mean? It includes financial help when they need it. Okay? How do we know? Because the scribes and Pharisees were saying, whoever shall say to his father and mother, look, I gave your money, what would have been help for you, I gave it to the church, or I gave it to the temple. Therefore, I don't have to honor you. I don't have to help you financially. That's what they were saying in that day. It's a cop-out, of course, but that's what they were saying. And the Lord says, thus it invalidates the word of God for your tradition. So in that passage, it is clear that the withholding of financial or material support from parents in need violates the command to honor father and mother. My point is this. Indeed, in the context of 1 Timothy 5, the word honor includes financial material support. And I ask, what good is your faith if you say to one who is bereft, we love you and respect you, and then send them away hungry? And what good is your faith if you say to one who is left all alone, you're so important to us, so valuable and meaningful to us, be encouraged as you go your way, and then we send them out in the cold with no coat and no provision for shelter? If a widow is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one says, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet does not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Where in that does one truly honor the widow? In the case of the widow indeed, we who believe must manifest our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through perceptible works of provision. Letter A, we are to lovingly and respectfully, not resentfully, amen? Not resentfully, respectfully care for widows indeed by providing for their earthly physical needs. Ah, but then there is the qualifier where we are to honor widows who are widows indeed, who are truly bereft, widows who are truly alone. Now we come to understand the importance of the original term translated widow. For the widow indeed, the true or real widow as spoken of here, is one who the one who is to be honored with financial support is the one who has been left all alone. Completely alone, having no legitimate means of financial support, and who is, as we will learn in a few moments, dedicated to Christ alone. Letter B. The widow indeed is the widow who is left all alone and in true need. Well, who is the widow who isn't left all alone? Verse 4, but if the widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Paul teaches us that a distinction is to be made between the widow indeed and the widow who has children and grandchildren. The widow who has children is not left all alone, for she has family that is to provide for her. Roman numeral 2. The widow with family is not a widow indeed, for she is not all alone. That's what those words meant in that day originally. The widow who has family is to be cared for first by her family. Her children and grandchildren are to care for her. You know why most grandchildren don't care for their grandparents? Because the children, their parents, don't care for their parents. And the sins are passed on from one generation to the next. As I said at the first of this teaching, if we're going to minister properly, we must evaluate the validity of the need, seeking then to minister to the highest need. Which widow is all alone? Which widow isn't? If a widow has a family, and that family is not caring for her, then her need is greater than mere sustenance. Listen, for she has a family that is failing to truly love her as that Christ would. True love manifests itself in works of love. Might I say that love that is not followed by works is a dead love? Let us show our love through our works. Christ died for us, amen? He died for us. He loved us, yes, how do we know? He died for us. The family is to love their widowed mother or grandmother by providing for her in real, actual ways. Our goal, then, is to minister to this widow, the widow who has family. We need to minister to her highest need, and for the highest good of all involved, excusing no one of their responsibility, but calling all to submit to the lordship of Christ. Her family should learn to practice piety in regard to their widowed mother making some return to their parents. As that family fails to honor the mother, they must repent of their sin, which looks like this. They turn from doing nothing for their mother, and they begin to meet her need, honoring her by caring for her in very real ways. When her children meet the greater need of loving her, they will meet the earthly need, her earthly need for shelter and food. How can you love someone and not provide for them and care for them? Amen? That family, in that her family, will glorify God through the obedience of faith. Letter A. The widow who has family is to be cared for by her family. We minister to this widow by calling her family to her side. Do you see what we're doing as the church? She has family. We say, hey, you have family. We're going to minister to your highest need. We're going to go tell your family they need to start loving you. Her offspring are to minister her by meeting her needs as a practice of godliness, giving her a thankful return for all she's done and bringing them into and up in this world. So you honor your mother by caring for her so she is not left all alone, appreciating the fact that the Almighty Sovereign placed you in her care. And now as you care for her, you do worship Christ with thanksgiving. This is a matter of the obedience of faith. For at this point, listen carefully, it does not matter whether or not she was a good mother to you. But what matters is that by the sovereign will of God, she is your mother. Got it? We can make all kinds of excuses for not doing what we ought to do. But let me tell you something, the man who knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him, is a sin. Now we know. God gave you to your mother to you. Are we so arrogant that we would blaspheme God and say he made a mistake there? Let us worship God by honoring our mothers. The families care for their widowed relative, and that they pick it up as their responsibility before the church is pleasing to God. It is acceptable in his sight. What shame it is for the family that neglects their widowed mother. Let me tell you, God will repay them for their evil deed, but on the other hand, he will also repay them for their good deeds, because it is pleasing to the Lord when the family cares for the widowed mother so that she's not alone and her cares are met. Letter B, God is well pleased with the family who ministers to their widows. Indeed, such is commendable before God. And I have to tell you, this week, as I was studying this and reading this, I was thinking so many of you here, how you've cared for your elderly parents. And I was rejoicing that what I was going to teach this week, so many of you are already practicing. What a glory to God. Amen? So I commend you in that. Now then, having said this, I do have a word for the widow with family. Widows with family. If you have family and you are in need, then you must humble yourself and receive from them, for this is the will of God for you. I recall several years ago, it was at another church actually, a widow came into the church seeking assistance. Her need was great. It was real and ongoing, as she came up short every month and she was going without food and some medicines. When we asked about her family, she said she had a family, but they weren't aware of her need. So we told her that she should tell them and that they should provide for her. In the course of that conversation, she said about three different things over and over and over. She didn't want to bother them. They needed all their money. And that they had told her that if she was ever needed, she could move in with them. She didn't want to do that. Okay, well, I understand all those excuses. But thanks to God, that upon looking at the Word of God, she humbled herself, and upon informing her family of the need and submission to Christ, they began to provide for her. Beloved, if one's family is to care for the widowed, then the widowed must receive that provision as that which God has willed for them. The widow wants God to provide for her. Guess what? God will do that through your family. That's what he intends. Amen. So this is how God chooses to provide. Verse 5. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. So here Paul expresses who is a widow indeed, whom the church should respectfully support with financial and material aid. And of course, it goes without saying, spiritual help also. Amen. Roman numeral 3, the widow indeed is recognized by her faith in God, which is manifested by her God-centered deeds. The widow indeed is God-centered. As already defined, the widow indeed is one who has been left alone. Having no husband, no family, no job, no social security, she's hurting, she's left bereaved without what is necessary for her physical well-being. She then, this widow indeed, is the one who fixed her hope on God. Letter A, the widow indeed can be recognized as she trusts God alone. She's dependent upon God fully. She knows where her help comes from on high, from her gracious Lord and God. Because she hopes in God, she continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. Her mind is focused on the Lord. She has set her mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and there he makes intercession for us. She thinks on whatsoever things are pure, true, honorable, right, lovely, and excellent, lifting her voice in praise to God. Beloved, the widow indeed does not waste her time. She does not sit idle. And most assuredly, she is not a busybody, but she busies herself in the things of the Lord, offering up entreaties by which she lifts requests to the Lord, and prayers by which she communes with God through worship and praise. She is not double-minded, but singularly devoted to God. She's not looking for a husband. She looks to God. In Luke 2, 36 through 37, we read of one such widow, of Anna. Of her, the scripture says, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after marriage. So they got married, and he lived 7 years. And then she was widowed until the age of 84, till the time of this writing, and she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. This Anna exemplifies the kind of widow the church is to support. The idea behind supporting a widow, indeed, is not to give her a life of ease. No. It's not so she can sit idle. No. It is to appreciate her hope in God, which is manifested through her continued devotion to God and entreaties and prayer. Thus, dear church, when we support this kind of a widow, indeed, we support the true and valuable ministry which blesses Christ and his church. Indeed, all the godly ought to be supported. Letter B. The church is to support those widows who manifest the godliness of a life devoted to God and prayer. I think it's worth noting here that God never supports laziness or the waste of time. Even in the Old Testament days, listen, when the destitute, the stranger, the orphaned, or the widow, when they would go to the fields, they had to glean in the fields. It was left for them to actually go and do the work of gleaning. People didn't go to them and say, here it is. They had to go get it. Something was required of them. God has a work ethic that we need to subscribe to. Amen? Well, of course, when we're considering a widow indeed, we must consider the physical limitations of an individual. Nevertheless, in consideration of their abilities, as instructed here, we are to support those widows who are widows indeed, and widows indeed are singularly devoted to God in prayer. Verse 6. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Now here Paul expresses who a non-deserving widow is. Though she may indeed be a widow, as the English term has it, she is not a widow indeed, as Paul is teaching. For she has not set her hope on God. She's living in wanton pleasure. She does not devote herself to the things of God. Rather, she is devoted to herself, giving herself to self-indulgences, living as lavishly as he can or wastefully and disrespectfully, and as this strong verse strongly indicates, living immorally. Therefore, she is not truly alone, is she? Though she is alive and thinks she lives it up, in truth, she is dead in her trespasses and sin. Some years ago, at the beginning of Heritage, I went on a missions trip down to Mexico. And we were in a church, and after the church was over, a lady, seeking male attention, and was known in that community for her work, trying to put it gently here, came to the front of the church, and she wanted money. Now, I don't want to be critical. I don't live in Mexico, and I'm not the pastor of that church. But the pastor, in order to get rid of her, gave her money. He's only perpetuating her sin, teaching her that if she'll come and cause someone a disturbance, he'll buy his way out. I say, call the police on her. Have a prayer meeting. Lay hands on her. All right? Yeah. So here's the deal. This woman that is spoken of here, this widow in verse 6, is one who gives herself to wanton pleasure. And how bad is it? She's dead even while she lives. She's not truly alone. Though she is alive and thinks she lives it up, in truth, she is dead in her trespasses and sin. So Roman numeral 4. The widow who lives in sin is not to be supported by the church. The woman is recognized by her faithless, self-centered deeds. You know the tree by its fruit. Amen? Good or bad? So, dear family, now think of this. If we support such a widow in this, who gives herself to wanton pleasure, then we take the Lord's money and give it to someone supporting them in their sin. Now tell me, how is God glorified in that? Shall we support ungodliness with money given as an offering to the Lord? To do that would be to share in the widow's sin, which would be a mockery to God and a mockery of his intent to care for his people. Oh, the widow who lives like this should be called to Christ in repentance. Listen, we minister to people where they're at for their highest need. This woman needs to be called to Christ. Amen? Amen? So we don't ignore her. We say, let me tell you about Jesus. For he forgives. And he washes away sins. And he casts them as far as the east is to the west. And when you come into his home, you become a child of the living God, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? All right. So, of course, a widow like this can be restored to good and proper fellowship in the church, and of course they can gain a high understanding, a high standing and honor and respect of the widow indeed. But until then, she is to be regarded as one who is dead in her sin, in need of Jesus. Letter A. We minister to this kind of a widow by calling her to Christ for the salvation of her soul. That's her highest need. That's where we go. Verse 7. Prescribe these things as well so that they may be above reproach. Timothy is to prescribe all these things that Paul teaches to the church so that in all these issues the church may be above reproach. Whether it is a widow in sin, whether it is family that's not caring for the widow, whether it's taking care of the widow indeed, it doesn't matter. We're to learn these things so that we can be above reproach. So Paul here commands Timothy to prescribe these things, to instruct the church how to minister to widows properly, teaching families how to care for their own, and how to discern between widows indeed and widows not indeed, as it were, separating the sheep from the goats. In commanding Timothy to practice, to prescribe these things, he is to prescribe them as an authoritative announcement. He is to prescribe these things to the church as a military command. So here's what we have before us today, church. This isn't what we are to think about doing. This is what we are to do. So let's do it. Amen? For those who follow Christ, there is no option here. The master's will is our will, and so we are to honor widows indeed. Timothy is to command these things to the church, so that he and the church will be above reproach, blameless, doing nothing for which a true accusation could be made, doing nothing which would malign the name of Christ, such as supporting widows in sin or removing a widow's family of their God-given responsibility. Roman number 5. The church must practice what is here commanded so as to be above reproach in her, the church's, good deeds. And verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, as in verse 4, Paul taught that children and grandchildren are to care for their widowed relative as is pleasing in the sight of God, here we come to understand just how serious about this God is. This is a serious matter before God. Those family members who do not provide for their widowed relatives are worse than an unbeliever, having denied the faith. This is a most serious issue. And let me go further. The church that does not provide for widows indeed has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Roman numeral 6. Those families that fail to care for their widowed, as here prescribed, deny the faith, counted worse than an unbeliever, and that according to their misdeed, by what they're not doing. Now, interesting, listen to this. This is so many nuggets in here. The word translated provide speaks of planning ahead of time. Planning ahead of time. Now, have any of you noticed that we're all growing older? Have you noticed that of your parents? I'm really thrilled to be in this because I'm looking forward one day for my parents' kids to take care of me. But so kids, listen to daddy. All right. We are to be a people who face the reality of life. And we know it's appointed unto man once to die. So those who are godly consider those things beforehand and consider when the day comes, how are they going to care for their widows, the widows of their family? They don't wait until the need arises, but anticipate the need and they plan for it. They don't obligate all their monies and resources beforehand to something else, but they leave some in reserve so they can minister to their widowed family member adequately. When they buy a house, they think about, well, one day we may have to take care of our widows. So we need to consider this as we buy a house so we don't obligate all our funds. Or maybe we'll get a house big enough that they can come live with us. And when they buy a car, they think, hey, I want to buy this expensive car, but maybe I ought to buy this lesser car so I have money for those who need it in the days to come. They think it through. They think about the will of God beforehand, and they prepare beforehand. But if anyone does not provide for his own, the words his own refers to any who are regarded as one's own, which in that day would have surely included servants even, friends, extended family. But anyone who does not provide for his own, especially his household, the words his household refers to his immediate family. So we see an intensity. Anyone who does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, the household gets the first care. All right, immediate family. So we see we are to care for any and all that belong to us. So we see how far and reaching is to be our care of those widows who are widows indeed. But be sure of this. It is those widows of our own household whom we must give priority in meeting their need. It wouldn't be right for me to meet the need of an aunt and not meet the need of my mother. For the one who fails here, then, has denied the faith. Whoa! If you fear God at all, this ought to grab your attention. Having heard the word, this word, and being taught the will of God in this matter, if one refuses to submit to God, then they have denied the principles of the Christian faith. While this soul may confess faith in Christ by his actions, he denies faith in Christ. Such a one is like those who are spoken of in 2 Timothy 3:5, for they hold to a form of godliness, but they deny its power. They're like those spoken of in Titus 1:16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. These who neglect the widow indeed, the widows of their own home. These have denied the faith and had better turn about and follow after Christ, for if not, they are worse than an unbeliever. How are they worse than an unbeliever? Because the light of Christ has shone on them. And they know what they ought to do. And not doing it, as I said, it is a sin. We expect of the unenlightened unbelieving that they would fail in these things of God, but not of those who have heard the truth. Those professing believers who hear the word of God but do not do the word of God, they deceive themselves, forgetting what kind of a person they are. They neglect Christ by this, neglecting their widows. Having been given much, much is required. And dear ones, God will call us to an account. And let me go beyond and say this to the church. How can we glorify the sovereign who bought us if we neglect the care of those among us who are widows indeed? I wonder if there's widows indeed among us and we're not helping them. I wonder how glorious it is to God to come together and sing. I wonder how glorious it is to God for us to sit under the word and hear the word and say the amen and then not do it. Well, I don't have to think about that very long. Really, if one is a widow indeed and we fail to honor them with our resources, then we have failed to honor Christ. Aren't we, having been enlightened to the will of God in this, worse than an unbeliever if we fail to care for the widows indeed? God help us to care for our own widows, that we might be a people of the faith, true to the faith, faithful to Christ, being a people of abundant grace, and care for those who are widows indeed. Letter A. As the church is the family of God, let us be careful that we fulfill this instruction, knowing that if we obey here, either as an individual family member or the church, we will be counted as those who deny the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. While widows indeed hope in God, God meets their need by sending the church to their aid. And for the widows with family, God meets their need through their family. Let us be found faithful unto the God who freely granted us faith in Christ. Now then, church, in this we have a supreme example. A supreme example for care for a widow, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For when he was upon the cross, and I want you to think on that, while he was on the cross, while he was suffering the cross, we talk about the cross so often that I think we forget how horrid it was. When he was upon the cross, when he hung on the cross in all of his agony, the crown of thorns pressed upon his brow, the nails driven through his hands and feet, in all of his agony, he looked down and he saw his mother and a disciple whom he loved. And he said to his mother, this is John 19, 26 and 27, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And what's the indication? To care for her, to meet her needs. Even in his final hour, in the moment of the agony of his death, Jesus saw to it that his mother would be cared for. How beautiful is the love of Christ. And how beautiful is his love shown through us to those of our family who are widows, and those of our church who are widows indeed. Closing. In the care of widows, we must follow after Christ, for even in his death, he saw to his mother's care. Let us be careful to minister to widows and widows indeed, as we are here instructed, and we know that by honoring widows, we will indeed honor God. Let us be a beacon of love in this darkened world, whereby the lives we live and the care we give widows testifies of Christ's great love for us. May God be honored in us. For this we live and breathe. To God be the glory. And all the church said, amen. Our great and heavenly Father, you are the almighty one whom we praise today. And Lord, you are holy. It is no surprise to us, Lord, that the angels surround your throne crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." You are the holy God, and what you tell us and instruct us in is holy. Lord, may we not take these words as some commentary by man, but Lord, what is written in this holy book as holy words from your very mind and heart and mouth, that this is how you are calling us to live. I thank you, Lord, for those in this congregation who have cared for their parents and are caring for them. Lord, I believe this is commendable before you, and I give you praise for this, for we see that you are at work in the hearts of people. But Lord, no doubt as a church and as individual family members, we are in need of improvement. Lord, may we confess our sin and our shortcomings before you, and asking your forgiveness, now do what you called us to do and be the people you have called us to be. Lord, if there is a widow in our family and she is in need, may we care for her and help her. And Lord, as we look to the future and we see that our loved ones are getting older, Lord, may we plan ahead of time as you have called us to, that in all wisdom, Lord, we'll be prepared for that day. And if the day should not come, blessed be the name of the Lord. But if it comes, according to your direction, we're prepared. I pray, Heavenly Father, that Heritage Christian Fellowship will be a congregation of believers where they are known for the love one for another and for their love for those who are in need, for the widows indeed. Further, Lord, I pray that we will minister to widows properly in each case. A widow indeed, that we will support them as a church. A widow with family, that we will encourage that family to love their widowed mother and to care for her, glorifying you. And where there is a widow who is living in sin, that we would tell them of your great love and their need to come to Christ. Lord, may we do all things in decency and order that you might be glorified. I also pray, Heavenly Father, today as some have come that perhaps they have not come to know you, they have not believed upon you. Perhaps they think that you were a good man or the story is interesting, but they have not surrendered to you. I pray today, Lord, that they will come to you and be a part of your family, which is so great. Lord, that seeing how you care for people, they will say, I want to be cared for like that. And seeing your love for the orphan and the foreigner and the widow, that they will say, I feel as an orphan and I want to be loved. And then, Lord, we know that they'll be adopted into your family, an orphan no more. Lord, they may feel like a foreigner. May they come to you and be adopted into the household of God and members of the household of the Lord, his holy nation. Lord, we ask for those who have not known you that today will be the day of their salvation, that Lord, as you grant them faith, they will believe and they will leave this place changed, new, born again, determined to no longer go their way, but to follow after you. We pray in all these things, Lord, that you will be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the church said, Amen.